Ryan Had a Dream, 10,000 Meetings, 40 Years. This is his journey, and this is your invitation to join along. This is the quest for 10,000.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Brian.
And welcome once again to the quest for 10,000, our audio journey with Brian as he tries to watch 10,000 movies before he turns 40. We are so happy that you are listening, that you've downloaded this podcast, and hope that you might share it with a friend. Welcome back. We have taken a couple of weeks off, an unscheduled hiatus, but kind of one where we needed to get recharged and reinvigorated after a pretty busy schedule of podcasting every other week, and we are back now and ready to go for another good long time with two episodes a month of the quest for 10,000. And because we're sort of starting up again after a couple of weeks, this episode is going to be about reboots and remakes.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, you see that? That's good. It was pretty obvious, so if you haven't been able to see it, I'd have other questions for you. So our big topic will be talking about reboots and remakes and what our feelings on them are. And then our top five will be Brian sharing the movies that he most would like to see rebooted and or remade, because we think there is a difference. But before we get to that, Brian, once again, tell us, where are you on the quest for 10,000?
I am at 7,746.
And the last movie you saw?
That was the Netflix documentary about Amanda Knox.
And what did you think of that?
She's crazy. It's weird. I mean, on one hand, it's very bizarre because I think she possesses a unique skill set of just personality traits. She's eminently sympathetic by virtue of her position and what happened to her, but she's also like incredibly unlikable. Like just in, and I'm just getting that just from interviews she's doing. It's really an odd. You want to feel sorry for her, but then you're like, but I don't want to feel sorry for her.
The story is compelling, but the figure not quite so much.
And I'm not. I mean, you know, and I don't think that she was responsible for the girl's murder. But it, you know, the documentary, the final trial was not until 7 years after, or 7 or 8 years after the murder, which is just bizarre that it took that long. And the Italian legal system's a joke too. The other movie I watched today was a special, and it's only an hour-long thing on Netflix, Netflix Live, and I'm counting it as a movie, but it's, if you haven't watched it, you need to. Will Arnett's very funny in it.
Oh, the Will Arnett April Fool's
it's very
kind
funny.
Of thing
very
going
funny.
On, yeah. Well, we just saw the Lego Batman movie finally in the theater, my wife and son and I, and Will Arnett is riding a high, it seems.
He is.
Off of that. And the Lego Batman movie, maybe again, kind of a reboot in some ways of the Batman story,
of
the Batman
story.
We're going
to exclude comic book movies from a discussion of reboots, remakes, because otherwise we'd spend the whole time talking. That's all they are, really. It's just constantly rebooting themselves.
Rebooting, remakes. Well, then tell me what constitutes then a reboot or a remake, if we do exclude those movies.
Okay. Well, a reboot is something that typically, like, it's not quite a sequel, although it's in the, you know, to use the terms they use, a shared universe, but it's like moves the story forward onto a new set of characters, or something like that, or it's a more like the Star Trek thing where it's the same characters, but it's clearly a different sort of direction. So it's not really a sequel. But it's not a remake because you're not following the same sort of plot points or beats that the originals did. So your own thing. A remake is more along the lines of, you know, there's no surprises in the direction it's going.
So to take that example you just used of the new Star Trek movies, the first Star Trek where you had
Shatner and Nimoy and
All that, and then it gets rebooted into this one with Zachary Quinto and
Chris Pine
and all that. But then the second one, Into Darkness, that is sort of a remake.
It sort of is a remake.
Because it sort of does Wrath of Khan again.
It sort of is.
In a rebooted universe. So again, it's kind of an illustration how it kind of overlaps.
I was thinking the same thing when I said it. The second one is more or less a remake of Wrath of Khan.
Now, kind of the standard narrative, I know I hear a lot when reboots, remakes get talked about is there are no more original ideas in Hollywood and that sort of thing. And really sort of, there's always kind of an eyebrow raised a bit, some suspicion in many kind of corners, at least of critical reviewers of movies.
People are cynical about it.
Yeah. What's your take
on that? If you want them to stop doing it, stop going to the movies that they're making. Because, I mean, they're only doing this because they know it's going to make money. And it's a lot easier to sell somebody on a product they're already familiar with than it is to sell them on something new. But, a couple of things. If you look at the number of movies that are produced in a given year, even Hollywood movies, the original content dwarfs the reboots and remakes. So to say there are no good ideas, no, it's the popular ideas happen to be the ones that are reboots, remakes. The other thing is, as long as there's been plays or novels, there's constantly been people that want to take a story and tell their own spin on it. So we don't complain when they do a new production of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof on Broadway or a new production of A Streetcar Named Desire. Why do we care if they do a new version of this movie that's the same story we sort of know, but they want to put their spin on it? I think it's a little disingenuous. Now, I do understand that the one difference is, like, when you do, I can't go back and see Jessica Tandy's performance in A Streetcar Named Desire from the 1950s. But I could easily plop in the movie and compare. The comparisons are more right there in your face. So you can certainly see it, but the same principle applies, is that it's somebody else who wants to take this idea and they have a passion and a twist for, or maybe it's a remake of a movie that a lot of people have not seen, or maybe that movie has kind of fallen off the radar and this will bring people back. And if the original movie's better, if this causes people to go back and see it, why is that a bad thing?
Right. Well, I think it's also worth noting that as long as there's been a Hollywood, there's been reboots, remakes going on. All the Godzilla movies that were...
And then just now Kong Skull Island, which came out.
Right, King Kong, all those monster movies. Those are reboots every time. You mentioned superhero movies, of course, but kind of the original were those kind of movies.
Well, you look at the Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Right, and then Ben Hur, maybe one of the most famous ones, as you said, you've in your quest for 10,000, have you seen all the versions of Ben Hur?
Well, I haven't seen the one that came out last year.
Well, no one saw that one.
No, very few. But I have seen the other three, and the 07 one. I don't think the whole thing survives. The part you can find is basically just the chariot scene.
That's the 1907, the silent short.
The 1907.
Right. And then 1925.
The 1925 one is good. It's comparable, if not a little bit better, than the one in 59 to me. But it's very good. But the 59 one, of course, I don't know that it's still considered a classic. It is, but I don't think as many people watch it as did when we were growing up.
To me, too, I think the difference in what makes something a... good remake or good reboot of a old property, intellectual property, is if it has maybe just something that's a little bit fresh, a new take, a slight twist of something. Mm-hmm. I think where it runs into in a couple areas that are problematic are ones where it becomes just shot for shot.
Yeah.
Something
like Gus Van Sant's Psycho.
Right.
And he intentionally tried to put his camera in the same place, which in his case, he was doing it as an experiment to see would it work this way, and it did not. It was painful.
And it did not. Or where maybe sometimes you're going maybe for some kind of nostalgia factor, and that's really all you're going for. Mm-hmm. That's where I put a lot of the... not a classic reboot of a film, but a lot of the films that we've seen in the last 10, 20 years seem to have increased in their production recently are these film versions of TV franchises.
Yeah, like
so right
Chips
now,
movie,
Chips, right? And I think it's got horrible reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. I think that's trying to tap in, or the Dark Shadows.
Now, the Starsky and Hutch. I actually sort of like that.
That
movie.
Was pretty good. That one was okay. But again, it was something new. They were sort of doing, and it was good
tongue,
people
well, it was
involved.
Tongue in cheek too. I mean, it was
right.
It was not a film version of Starsky and Hutch. It was like a satire spoof.
And it was sort of an homage to
yeah.
sort
and
of the
Snoop
genre and that kind of stuff.
At his peak.
But I think sometimes if the goal is just nostalgia, that might. Or maybe it's trying to access the nostalgia so we can make a quick buck. That's
sure.
where I think people's problems
sure,
are.
Yeah,
so
they want
some remakes like
your heartstrings.
Yeah,
to
like
make
Rollerball
money.
Was one of those. You know that came
I'm
out.
With you.
Death Race.
But at the same time,
you know,
though,
that kind of
at
stuff.
At the same time, though, like even that though, if it's nostalgia for something, it exposes a new generation to. You know, say they oh I never saw that original. Let me go back and see it. I don't have a problem with it. And again, you know, at the end of the day, if people are complaining about it, don't go see the movies. I promise you, if you're not going to see it, they're not going to make it. You know, so I wonder, you know, sometimes people complain about the type of movies that are being made. I think that's because those are the type of movies they are paying to go see. So I don't have a lot of sympathy for it.
One also recent movie that is a... both a reboot and a remake, maybe. Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, I love the new one.
Well, everybody loved
I
the
mean,
new
I,
one.
I loved
it's
it.
Made tons
I mean,
of money.
The Thompson was great.
From,
the whole
from
thing.
What I know, it adds some things. I haven't seen it yet. I know it adds some things.
She's music. So
my understanding, know. Though, and from seeing some of the trailers, is that it is not maybe quite shot for shot, but it's. Pretty much the animated
yeah,
movie
yeah,
come to life,
yeah,
right?
That's what they're trying
so,
to
So what makes something like that successful? And is there any sort of point where you think there might be diminishing returns? Because Disney has a lot of movies in the pipeline
yeah.
like this.
Yeah,
and I mean, Beauty and the Beast, of course, is the second
everyone,
one.
Well, I mean, that's been more
the
than
Jungle
two,
Book.
On the Cinderella one.
Right,
and
Cinderella.
Maleficent is a pseudo
right.
sort of
right.
in that range. So they've had several now of their... they got... Apparently they're in talks with everything from Dumbo to live-action Winnie the Pooh, which
yeah.
I don't know how that works. Dumbo's going to be tough, too, and it's supposedly directed by Tim Burton, which is... whatever.
Johnny Depp is an elephant.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, Will Smith was attached to it at one point. And then The Lion King, and then, so they got, and The Little Mermaid, they got all their, you know, so eventually they're going to catch up with the movies that are, you know, because when Frozen, the live-action Frozen comes out 5 years after Frozen, you know, you're probably moving a little too fast. But, or the live-action Toy Story, which sort of defeats the whole purpose.
Right.
But, you know, why was Beauty and the Beast successful? Because it's a good movie. You know, I mean, that's the and you had quality people. Your cast was quality director, Bill Condon, and it was a story that people were excited to see. You know, if you do a live action version of The Rescuers, not going to work.
Right.
Okay. And also you've got to get the cast has got to be. You know, Emma Watson has cachet. You know, she carries. You got Emma Thompson, who people love. You got Stanley Tucci involved. You got Josh Gad, who has his following. So you have people in it, that Kevin Kline, you know, the quality people up and down. If you don't have the cast, so you have to put some money into it. But if you're willing to do that, I mean, I think you know you're going to get.
I think the other thing that makes it successful is that it's 25 years old.
Sure.
So I think time and distance. I think if you put quality. You put enough time and distance, 30. it can take away some of the cynicism,
sure.
you know, that is in there, and so.
Well, but if you did a live action remake of Pocahontas, nobody's seeing that movie.
Didn't they 1602?
Yeah,
was
saying, you know what I'm saying? Those movies, because they don't have that sort of like revered status that
right.
Beauty and the Beast has
right.
or the Lion King had. I mean, look, a couple of years ago they put the Lion King out in 3D and people flocked to go see that.
Right.
So, you know, some movies have just a certain level of, like, they're going to have a certain foundation of success just because they are so beloved.
Well, and that, to me, is using nostalgia. I mean, obviously Disney's like, we can make money off of this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nostalgia in a way of maybe a little more similar to, like, putting on a new production of Romeo and Juliet.
Mm-hmm.
you know, putting doing something like that where there's there feels like there's a little bit more artistic integrity.
And for there,
although there's a lot of big shining dollar signs in it too.
And the other thing is too, when you look back at the technology that is required, especially for their more fantastic movies like A Talking Teapot or The Jungle Book from last year, that kind of stuff you couldn't have done it without it looking incredibly lame up until the last 5-year window. So it wasn't something that they've been sitting on. Some of it was something that they just couldn't do well until now. And the technology's only going to get better, and it's only going to get more interesting. And you're only going to see potential for the stuff that we've talked about already with Rogue One, where you have, you know, Princess Leia pop up. That's going to happen more frequently, and it's going to happen in movies like this where you're going to see people like, wait a minute, how did they, you know, which is a creepy line, but I mean, it's...
Yeah, but I do think, though, you've named some of the properties where it's like, how can they exactly do this? I do think there is reason on the other side of that coin, the other side of that argument, because there is something that feels still maybe a little bit cheap, especially with Disney and all the talent they have and all these, you know, imaginative people they have working mm-hmm. with them. You know, give us something else also that is original. Give us another memory that in 25 years then we can see mm-hmm. adapted in a different way or in a new mm-hmm. way.
They've been trying to do this for a long time. So before recently, and they could re-release the film as a live-action version of theaters, you know, Disney's been notorious for a long time about when they would put their movies out to the home market on VHS or on DVD, they'd have a window. They'd close it off. And then 5 or 6 years, 10 years later, they put it out again to try to hype you up and get you. So it was the same type of model of recycling it, but they weren't doing it in theaters. They were just doing it at the home video release.
Well, and it's also worth noting this might be part of a longer-term strategy of Disney in some ways, where, you know, they had this span in the early to mid-90s of these kind of new classic animated movies.
The Disney Renaissance.
And then Beauty and the Beast and Lion King.
Well, then Pixar
and maybe Mulan.
Stole their thunder.
Maybe Mulan all became musicals.
Mulan was right after our... Yeah,
well,
you're
sure.
Right,
but
right.
They became... So they got remade into
mm-hmm.
musicals.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, they were already musicals, but stage productions.
Musicals, yeah.
And now
started with
getting,
the Lion King, and
then
like
getting
blown away because it was such a...
And now getting made
production.
Into live action stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which... I'm going to bet there was at least some consultation in the early stage of development of, well, how do we stage these things,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
from a theater perspective when they were looking at making a live-action
sure.
movie. So it might also be a longer-term strategy. And like any strategy, it can have obviously great benefits and great integrity to it. But I do think there could come a point where they have to figure out how to do something else and something different with
yeah,
it too.
They do.
It seems like it could be
a
law of diminishing returns
there are,
with some
right
of
now
this.
There are approximately a little less than 60 Disney animated films in what they call their Disney animated classics, their canon of films. And some of those are not going to become, you're not going to make a live action Fantasia. That's not happening. So when you look at the ones that are conceivable to do, you might have up to 20, okay? 20, 25. And we've already had 3 or 4 of them. So once you get those 2025, that well's run dry.
Right.
Like you don't have that option to
right.
keep doing. And you can't give me a Bolt live action movie and me care about it.
That's right. So far, sort of a mixed reaction. Not a big problem with remakes.
As long as the movie's good, I don't care.
Right.
If it's a bad movie, then it certainly makes, especially if I'm a fan of the original, it makes me mad when they remake it and they make crap out of it.
And you probably double down on the cynicism.
Yeah,
and
that makes me mad.
Okay, one more film I think we need to just briefly note on, if we can, in the last year that's come out. Remake or reboot? I want to know your opinion. Remake, reboot, the Ghostbusters.
Well, ostensibly, you know, it sounds like it's a reboot because they're trying to, like, my understanding is they're trying to make this world and expand it out, and it's not, you know, it's in the same, it's in sort of the same universe, but not really, because they don't really talk about the people. I would say at the end of the day, it's more of a remake, because it feels, there's so many beats that are almost identical, and so, And there's a certain point where it's not a callback, it's just a flat out remaking it, you know. Mm-hmm. And to me, it feels more like a remake.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you have it. Well, listeners, tell us if you agree or disagree. Follow us at 10K Movies on Twitter. Let us know what you think of reboots, remakes. Also, 10kmovies.com. Both of those are T-E-N-K. And look at Brian's website. Give us comments. Give us a retweet. Let us know what you think and be part of this conversation. We move on now to the top five for this episode. And the top five is Brian's movies that he would most like to see remade. Now, before we go into this, it's probably worth saying any movie that's been made could be remade.
Sure.
It could be rebooted. So these movies are probably ones that, Brian feels like could work the best, make the best movie,
mm-hmm.
as he said. So some things like Casablanca, Star Wars, those sorts of things, those are kind of right out. Also, in one of our episodes before our break, we talked again about Groundhog Day. We talked about if a reboot, remake of that would work in any sort of way. We kind of thought it probably wouldn't. So we kind of put those aside and instead focus on movies that you think, Brian, would be the successful,
mm-hmm.
most potential for success, remakes or reboots. So give us your number five.
Okay. I'm going to, you know, just going through this now, I'm going to say number five is going to be a movie from the late 70s called Being There with Peter Sellers.
Okay.
And it's about a gardener who watches a lot of television who inadvertently becomes this powerful person. I think it could really work. It's got Shirley MacLaine too. I think it could be very good.
That has some themes, yeah.
I think so. I mean, and every time they like, they ask him something, he's like, "I like to watch," and he means television. But they think it would work really well, I think, and you could take it in some interesting directions. Let's see, number four. I'm sorry, second one coming up. Let's see, Some Like It Hot, Marilyn Monroe, Jack Lemmon, Tony Curtis. Especially with gender politics being what they are now, I think it could, with the right hands, I mean the wrong hands, it could go off the rails quickly. But the idea that these two musicians who witnessed a gang murder are disguising themselves as two women to hide out from the mob, and I think it could be updated and work really well.
Yeah, it seems like maybe there'd be like a Birdcage. Vibe to something like that.
Yeah, that could certainly be true.
That was a remake of that French film.
Yeah, La Cage aux Folles. Yeah.
Yeah.
That could be really good, which the Robin Williams version is in a thousand times better, trust me. Another one, this is a more... Just,
number three.
Okay, this is staying with a remake. The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance.
Oh, yeah.
Jimmy Stewart, John Wayne. I mean,
right.
The story's there. And you just get some classic, you know, classic kind of leading men to do it. Chris Pratt would be phenomenal and something like that. Or maybe you want to go somebody a little older, but you know, even Clint, if you could call Clint into doing it, it'd be perfect. Okay, now the next one is more of a reboot, and I think this would be it's time. Okay, it's time. Back to the Future. It's been 30 Ooh. years. We need Ooh. A Back to the Future going back to the
Ooh.
80s. We need it.
Ooh.
I mean, that needs to happen. You know, and you've got a whole series of films. It could be really, really good.
It could be really good.
Then if he goes back 100 years, he's going back to like 1915. I mean, it'd be so good.
So risky.
Of course it would.
How do you find someone exactly as likable as Michael J. Fox?
Or as endearingly quirky as Doc Brown. Like that, to me, that's the harder role to pull off, really. Because you can't go, if you go too far over the top, because he straddles that line between like over the top, like, oh my gosh, annoying, and just lovable kook. And George McFly, who else are you going to get to be that kind of like, come on. There's a lot of problematic, but man, we need it.
High risk, high reward.
Oh, the reward is certainly there.
All right, so number one.
Well, number one, the movie that I'd love to see redone, and I don't think it's been done, it's 60 years old now. I'd like to see Sunset Boulevard again. I'd like to see a new Sunset Boulevard where you, and you can update if you want to or whatever, but the idea of fading stars who don't want to give up on their stardom is appealing to me. I mean, I think that's a timeless theme that you can update, and I think it would be really good. It's real juicy for an older woman, which is also pretty relevant right now, too.
All right, well, that's quite an eclectic list. A couple others that came to mind as you were sharing. Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
That would be a great movie.
That would be really interesting.
It might be difficult to do because that movie was made in a time that was really devoid of cynicism. So it would be hard to... You'd have to straddle be difficult to kind of adapt it, but it's doable.
Yeah. One, two, I think a universe would be interesting to explore in a reboot kind of way. The Godfather.
Yeah,
I think you'd have to do it maybe not as a feature film, but as a Netflix series.
And a couple of movies that I'm interested in, but I didn't say because I know they're in various stages of development. There's talk of a Shawshank Redemption remake with a female Andy Dufresne.
How do you feel about this? That would be interesting.
I know you love Shawshank.
The new Mary Poppins coming up with Lin-Manuel Miranda.
It's going to be excellent.
And one other that I just saw the trailer for recently, which is going to get us into our next episode, listeners. So a little bit of a sneak peek, so to say, is Blade Runner, which seems to me
super excited
to be both be a sequel and
a
reboot.
To a movie where the main character is not supposed to age. So I don't know how that's going to happen. And the guy's now 80 years old. It
might be a sequel, a reboot, and in some ways a remake. So that might hit kind of, that might kind of hit a triple threat. Again, listeners, let us know what you think of reboots, remakes. What films would you like to see rebooted, remade? What films, in no uncertain terms, do you just want to be left well enough alone?
Yeah.
Let us know at 10K Movies on Twitter, at 10kmovies.com, Brian's blog. Thank you so much again for listening, for downloading, for being part of this journey on the quest for 10,000. We hope your week is a 10
plus. Borderline 11.